Well, thank you very much, and good morning, and welcome to a very special day in our nation's capital, a day that we recognize those people on farms and ranches across the United States who put food on the dinner table, clothes on our back, a roof over our head, and now energy in our gas tank. National Agriculture Day. I do want to call attention to the two placards in front of the stage, because these are the people we owe a debt of gratitude today, because they are the sponsors that help make this celebration of National Agriculture Day in our nation's capital happen. My name is Orion Samuelson, RFD-TV and WGN Radio Chicago, where I've been hanging out for 52 years now, talking agriculture, talking to many of you, and all of the organizations that represent agriculture, and it's good to have you here today. Great to be back in Washington, D.C. for this event, because this is the 39th year now that we have held National Agriculture Day and Week. Started back in 1973. A lot of you down here in the Blue Jackets weren't, maybe your parents were just getting married. I don't know, but we've been around for a while doing this. And there is a full day of activity. At noontime, we'll be up in the Longworth House building for our mix and mingle noon luncheon. And then this evening at 5:30, we will be back in this great patio. I love this place, surrounded by the photographs of secretaries of agriculture that I have known and worked with and that have had a tremendous influence on American agriculture and world agriculture. And if you have time, take a look at some of the portraits, because it'll bring back some names, even to you younger folks. We are delighted today to have Krista Hardin with us to kick off our National Agriculture Day program. She's currently serving as the Chief of Staff to Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, but she's had an active role in agriculture here in our nation's capital. Before assuming this role, she was appointed by President Obama and confirmed by the U.S. Senate to be Assistant Secretary for Congressional Relations. She held that position from May of 2009 to January of 2010. But before joining the Obama administration, she served as the CEO of the National Association of Conservation Districts. That's where I first met her, based in Washington, D.C., from 1993 to 2004. She was the senior vice president of Gordley Associates. That's an agricultural consulting firm where she focused on conservation and renewable energy issues. She worked on Capitol Hill from 1981 to 1992, served as a professional staff member of the House Agriculture Committee, and as chief of staff and press secretary to former Congressman Charles Hatcher, Georgia Democrat. She is from Camilla, Georgia, where her family still lives and farms. She's a graduate of the University of Georgia. Haven't checked to see if they're going to make March Madness or not, but let's welcome Krista Hardin to the podium.
Good morning. Orin told you exactly how old I am. As I was listening to all that, I thought, ooh, these kids are going to think I'm really old, and I guess I am. I don't feel it, but I guess I am. Nothing gives me more pride and more excitement than to kind of kick off National Ag Day. As Orin explained, I am a farmer's daughter, generations and generations. We like to say at home that our family came over on the boat, probably from debtor's prison, because they were probably farmers in the United Kingdom in those days. So I have very, very deep roots in agriculture and very excited to honor this day. It's great to have so many young people who, whether you decide for a career in farming or not, whether you teach or just eat, you will always have this connection, I think, to agriculture. And I commend you for your dedication and your commitment and your hard work, for wearing your blue jackets even in the summer. For that, you should deserve a little praise. But for also just being the ambassadors for agriculture and for the way of life that many of us know and love. You're going to hear a lot throughout this day, and probably throughout the year, I hope, about USDA and our 150th anniversary. It is with great pride that we're all celebrating that. 150 years is a long time. And when you look back and think about that, Abraham Lincoln had a lot on his mind 150 years ago in 1862. in the middle of a civil war, and really had the foresight and the courage to establish the People's Department, as he called it, the Department of Agriculture, and how far we have come since then. It is a massive element in every person's life. One of my favorite things that the secretary does often when he is speaking to a kind of a non-ag audience, he will challenge the audience just to ask questions on any relevant topic in the newspaper, and he will connect it very, very eloquently and very simply to the work of the Department of Agriculture. Anything from what's happening in Afghanistan, we have over 50 people, U.S. employees, stationed in Afghanistan. I don't know if people are aware of that, but they're working with farmers there on conservation issues, NRCS folks. Most people are not aware of that. Talk about that we have fed in 2010 3.9 million people with our SNAP program, making sure that elderly folks, folks with kids, working poor, have enough food. And of course, I think everyone is very much aware of the work that we do with farmers and ranchers. But we also have a very exciting work with rural towns and small communities, and we help with housing and community facilities and a number of things that help folks, and food safety. I wonder from our young folks, not you older folks in the back, but our young folks, if you know what three products that we actually provide food safety for, the regulations and the controls for food safety. Any guesses? Meat, that's a good one, that's one. Eggs? Poultry. Very good, very close. What is, again, for the young folks, our largest agency at USDA? Largest single agency. So we have 17 agencies at USDA. What would you think would be the largest one? No cheating. It is the Forest Service. About 36,000 employees are in our Forest Service. A lot of folks wonder how the Forest Service got here and why it's still here, and we're very proud to have the Forest Service part of USDA. What is the difference, young folks, between a national park and a forest, a U.S. forest? What would you think would be kind of a, why, what's the main difference, would you think? I'm sorry? Protected. That's a very good part of it, yes. National forests are protected, but in a different way. They're not preserved. No, they're not monuments, right? They're working lands. And USDA is often, we are about working lands. So you can harvest timber in most places, in a lot of places in national forests. Have recreation there. There's skis, you know, outlets. You can do a number of things. Grazing is another use of national forests, which is very different from parks. So we continue to be very excited about having the Forest Service as part of USDA. We have also the Foreign Ag Service. Any guess on about how many offices we have around the world and how many countries? 20. You're pretty close. We don't have quite that many. We're in the 90s. We have offices in all major areas, exporting areas. And we have the our ag attachés, who are a wonderful core, diplomatic core, who are out there helping all of our industries. We work with, very closely with, our cooperators, who are ag producing groups and trade organizations, who also have offices. So we're leveraging their dollars and federal taxpayer dollars together. USDA just touches so many different elements of American life, and I think sometimes we're forgotten. We're also, it's kind of interesting to me, kind of a tidbit, that we are the only department on the National Mall. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we're right out here on the mall. All the others, all the ones with fancy names that folks recognize and secretaries' names they can name of a common day place, we're the ones located on the National Mall. And Secretary Vilsack really has tried to capitalize on our location, because we're right here, right at a major metro stop, the Smithsonian. Is just, you know, just a few moments away. You can actually see it out our windows, and one stop of it is right outside our building. So he's really tried to maximize and help us have welcome folks from all over the world, the country and the world, to Washington. So we put in a people's garden. I don't know if you've been able to see the garden that's right there on the corner. We kind of broke up some concrete that had been laid for different reasons right when the secretary came, one of his first actions. And we have a garden there. And volunteers come from all over the country to help work in that garden. And we have a variety of plants, and we have on our farmers market days, we have folks who come and will buy food at our farmers market and donate it to food banks. We have games for kids and educational activities for kids, everything to help connect people with who is producing their food. It's a wonderful opportunity. And right now we have over 1,500 people's gardens all over the country, often located at our own offices, and our employees do that during their lunchtime and after work. They have gardens right there in their offices. Other groups, embassies have them around the country, around the world, connecting again the U.S. farmer with what's happening to the American public and the role that we play. So I hope that you have a wonderful day. I hope you feel a connection while you're here to USDA. It's a wonderful, wonderful department, very rich in history and tradition, but also we have a vision for the future. One of our main goals, and the Secretary's taken a very personal role in this, is looking who's going to farm next. I'm just curious if any of you plan to go into farming after you leave college or high school. A few hands. My guess is it used to be a lot more. The exciting thing for me is there was a number of women who said that, and this is Natural Women's Month, too, not only Ag Day, but Women's Day as well. So I'm very excited to see a lot of the young women thinking about farming. You know, I never really did, which is growing up on a farm. I was voted most likely to leave my senior class in high school. I wanted to get off that dirt road. I wanted to go to a big city. I wanted to have an exciting life. I didn't even tell people, you know, anything about the way I grew up when I went to college. I didn't want to look back. And I graduated from the university and came to Washington to work for a member of Congress, as Oren said, and did anything but agriculture. I really just was not interested. I wanted to do something that I thought would be more glamorous than agriculture. And then there became a farm bill, a 1985 farm bill. And my congressman at the time said, you know, we need you to work on the farm bill because, you know, you're from a farm. Like, I know nothing about farm. I'm as spoil rotten as there ever was. I never drove a tractor, still hadn't. Don't know. I was just spoiled. My daddy worked really hard. My sister and I did not. We just were late and kind of lazy, kind of prima donnas. And I just said, I don't know anything about agriculture. He said, you grew up on a farm. You have to. I'm like, no, I don't. You know, I know you plant seeds, you water, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know the basics. He said, I bet you know more than you think you do. So I said, well, okay, if nobody else will work on the farm bill, I will. And I guess the rest is history, because I started working on the policies that make a big difference on the success, really, of my family's operation and our livelihood. And I realized that I could be connected to agriculture, that I could work in agriculture without really farming. And I never really considered going back. I thought about it at one point, how much fun it might be to actually, you know, be on the land instead of just working around it and with it. And I realized that either it was going to be a homicide or a suicide, because I could not work with my daddy. That would not work. And he was a young man, so he was not going to go anywhere. So I better find a way to be really committed to agriculture and to help without being on the farm. And I hope that I've done that, or went through all the different things I've worked in the different elements. And I do feel like that my agriculture background, when I have a question, or even when I don't have a question, I hear from my daddy. He's my first call to say, how will this work? What does this mean? How would you deal with this? These changes, do they make sense? Can you pencil this out for our farm in Georgia? It's just that direct connection and having that, having someone that you can go to, having friends and family that call you all the time to give you an earful, knowing that you can have that instead of just guessing. There are a lot of things that happen in this town and within this beltway, within this building and in Capitol Hill, that don't make a whole lot of sense on the farm. They sound good on paper, right? But when you really try to put them to use, they do not. So having that connection for me has made a big difference. And hopefully knowing just the little effort that I can make, the little involvement that I can have, can make a difference, not only for my family, but obviously that near and dear to my heart, but also to the farmers and ranchers around the world. Now, I'm very, very proud. When I used to not want to talk about being from a farm, now I'm extremely proud. A few years ago, there was a tornado that hit my hometown, much like some that we just have had this past weekend. It's a Valentine's Day, and 19 people were killed. It didn't go through town. It just went through rural areas and just really devastated some of the poorest of the poor out in my home area. And I got calls and emails all day long And I thought, how does everybody remember I'm from Camilla, Georgia? How do they know that? How do they remember that? So I asked a friend who called me from another state and said, how did you remember? Well, it's been years since we've talked. She said, Krista, everybody knows you're from Camilla, Georgia, and that you grew up on a farm. And then I got kind of embarrassed that I must talk about myself all the time. She said, no, we just know you're really proud. So I just want to leave you with that thought, especially these young folks, to be proud of where you're from, your connection, and even if you're not from agriculture, but you have an interest in it, and you want to learn, and you want to know farmers, it's the most wonderful profession in the world. It feeds people. Just the very, very basic elements that we all need. And there's just no greater people in the whole world. I've always heard that agriculture is the foundation of our country, and I believe that. So I thank y'all for being here today. I thank our sponsors, our wonderful sponsors, who some are in the room this morning and will be with you throughout the day, because this could not happen without their commitment to agriculture and to your future and to the future of this great profession. So thank you. Enjoy your day, and I'm sure I'll see you throughout. And if you ever need anything, I'm right up there. I'm locked in, but you can just knock on the door. Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. I don't know if anybody still plants tomatoes from seeds. My daddy says he doesn't. He goes to the seed and feed store and buys little plants because it's easier. But we have some seeds here, and I want to give them to you. They're the Abraham Lincoln seed, and then Burpees is helping us with our anniversary, hand them out. And they established this seed in honor of Abraham Lincoln. It's just pretty cool. Even if you don't plant it, I think you should have it. So I'm going to pass these out for those who might actually grow a tomato who just want their souvenir. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Krista Hardin, Chief of Staff, Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. A couple of things that I would like to comment on. First of all, we have made mention of the sponsors, Krista did. So I'm going to ask if there's anyone in the room, and I know there are, who represent sponsors that are on this board, will you please stand? And I want you young people to see who's helping make this possible. So people who are a part of this recognition of sponsors, these are the people who are helping make this celebration of National Agriculture Day possible. And I certainly could understand some of what Krista said about the farm. I grew up on a Wisconsin dairy farm, getting up at 5 o'clock every morning to milk cows. And when I got to be of age where I dared talk back to my folks, I said, Dad, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to milk cows. And so I left, and I became an agricultural broadcaster. And for the last 59 years, I have been getting up at 2:45 in the morning to do a program for people who get up at 5 o'clock to milk cows. Does not say much about what's going on up here. But it's good to see the young people here, and it's easy to recognize the FFA. The Blue Jackets are here. 4-H, where are we, 4-H? Back there. Nice to have you here. Thank you. Agriculture Future of America, the AFA. I know there's a good delegation of AFA members here today. And do we have any of the outstanding young farmers who are going to be with us throughout the day? They may be already making calls up on Capitol Hill, but having been involved with the Outstanding Young Farmer Program for the last, I guess, 47 years, it's been fun to watch the leadership that's come out of that organization as well. And I have just one message for you young people today, just one. You can't dream big enough. Remember that. You can't dream big enough. When I was sitting on that three-legged milking stool, I could never have imagined being standing here today or doing all of the other things I have been able to do. So you can't dream big enough. At 11:30, we get underway in the Longworth House office building with our mix and mingle luncheon, as we call it. And then this evening at 5:30, we will be back here in this setting, and it will be set beautifully for the banquet to enjoy what the people we're saluting today put on the table. So thank you all for being here, and we'll see you throughout the day, and have a great one as we celebrate and carry the message. Agriculture, you can't live without it. Thank you very much, and have a good day.